Father in heaven, we do thank you. What a great privilege you've given unto us that we can be called the children of God. John said, what manner of love you have bestowed on us that we can be called your children, that we can cry out, Abba, Father, that we can approach your throne of grace at any point in time, and that, Lord, you'll be listening. Your ears are attentive to the cry, the petition, to the needs of your people. Father, most of all, we thank you that we have the privilege that we can open the pages of Scripture and you can grant us divine illumination. Father, we are praying today will not be an exception, that we'll not just read these words as mere letters, but you will breathe the breath of life, the breath of your person, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the breath of divine illumination, Lord, upon these words, that as we open the pages of Scripture, you will also open us to your word, and your word will read through us as we read through it, Lord, and you do a defining work in our lives by virtue of the power of your word in the name of Jesus. Father, we are here today to eat sumptuously at the table of the Lord. May the Lord serve us, Lord, and break unto us the bread of life. Father, we thank you and we bless you. And the people of God say,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brethren. You can be seated. I would like to talk about a very important subject today. And I've already arranged with my dear brother Mark for the visits that I'll be doing in the course of the year. I think I have about 6 visits by God's grace. And what I would like to do each time I come is to touch on a subject that I believe the Lord is bringing for the hour. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 all through to 8. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? This morning I want to talk about the ministration of the Holy Spirit. The ministration of the Holy Spirit. When we look at the life of Jesus Christ, the one thing that made Christ unique from any other person that ever lived on earth was because he had the fullness of the Holy Spirit in him. That is what made the difference. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 that the Father had anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When John the Baptist was to speak about Jesus Christ, he said one thing that made Christ different is that he had the Spirit of God upon him without measure. When the Father was to publicly declare that this is my Son, my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, we are told that at the point of baptism that the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. The Bible says that he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted. When he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we're told in the book of Luke chapter 4. When he went into the temple, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And Christ didn't just come to bring the message of God. Jesus Christ is the message of God. So everything about his life is a message from God the Father. And we see, even sometimes Christ said, "I cast out demons and devils by the Spirit of God." It's no wonder that James says that the body without the Spirit is dead. And in the days that we're living in today, the church at large have succeeded in taking away the Spirit of God. Its activities, methodology, presentation, administration, human competencies, which they have taken to mean that giftings, which isn't the same thing. So human competencies and ability. And they've taken all those things, running with all those things, and unfortunately, they have left out the Holy Spirit. And James said, the body without the Spirit is dead. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and then we'll look at six areas of the Holy Spirit's ministration in a living church. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, I read from verse 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Have you noticed how entertainment has very subtly crept into the church? The reason why entertainment has crept into the church is because the Holy Spirit has left. If the Holy Spirit is in operation, if there's the manifestation and the ministration of the Holy Spirit, we don't need entertainment. So as God was to send out Christ, and Christ went about, what did he do? He went about in the power, in the authority, in the anointing, and in the ministration of the Holy Spirit. And then as Christ was about to ascend, he called Peter, James, John, the disciples that had been with him all the while, from Galilee and Nazareth and all the journey and all the way and all through Judea up to Jerusalem where he was crucified. His faithful disciples, they were with him at the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Christ multiply bread. They saw Christ walk on water. They saw Christ heal the man that had an infirmity for 38 years in John chapter 5. And the woman that was bowed down for 18 years in Luke chapter 13. And all the great miracles that Christ did. And the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But Christ told James, Peter, John, Andrew and his disciples, that head knowledge you have would not carry you far if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, tarry. Wait until you're endued with power from on high. You've been with me for 3.5 years, but being with me is not enough. The head knowledge is not enough. The truth that you know about me is not enough. You need something much more than that. If as a church we're going to have victory over the powers of darkness and the powers of evil, and there's going to be revival and renewal and repentance and salvation, and the community is going to come to the Lord, if we're going to do a defining work and bring people out of captivity from the pits of hell into the kingdom of God, Peter, James, John, you need something much more than just the experience of walking with me. You need exactly what I had. You have to operate with what I operated with. You need the Holy Spirit within you. Tarry until you're endued with power from on high. And the people of God got the message. And they tarried. And they began to pray. And they were seeking the face of God. And when God saw that they were ready, they were with one accord. They had been decluttered. No spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, there's sincerity, there's love for God, there's one focus, one heart. God said, yes, they are ready. And then Christ received the promise from the Father and shed that promise upon them. Acts chapter 2. And because of Acts chapter 2, that's why today we have Crawley New Life Church. Because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit ministers, the ministration of the Holy Spirit, there are six important things that stands out when the Spirit of God is allowed to minister in Christ's church. Number one, it's the Spirit of God that speaks to the church. It's not the pastor. It's not someone behind the pulpit. It's not someone who comes to declare the word. It is the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is allowed to minister, the ministration of the Holy Spirit, it is the Spirit of God that speaks to the church. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The Spirit of God knows the mind of God, knows the purpose of God, knows the will of God, knows the program of God, knows the plan of God. And therefore, he is the only one that is qualified to speak to the church. May God help us. If we have ministers and pastors who are not hearing from God, what they will do is that as they break the word, they'll be breaking stone and not life. They're not going to be breaking bread. Because it's the Holy Spirit that knows the mind of the Father. You find out in verse 11 in Revelation, verse 11, chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In verse 29, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. You know, each time Christ spoke, or there was a revelation about one church, it ends, that message ends by saying, hear what the Spirit says, not just to that church, but to the churches, in plural. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That means that if I pick up the Bible and I want to read the Bible and I understand English and I know how this Bible has been written, I understand the language in which it is written, even with that, without the Holy Spirit giving me understanding, I wouldn't understand what the Scripture actually means. That's why you have the Pharisees and scribes who would memorize the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and the book of Deuteronomy. They would memorize five books of the Old Testament, and yet they didn't understand it. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to the church. And if the Holy Spirit has withdrawn or if the church does not allow the Holy Spirit to minister to the church of Christ, that church will die. It says in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." That's why, by the grace of God, in almost 30 years of ministry, I have noticed over and over again that the people who do not tend to really understand the things of God are the ones who have studied theology. Because they've gone to Bible school. But Bible school does not equate to the Spirit of God. They have studied hermeneutics and, you know, everything that has to do with the Word of God, and they've gone into the Greek and the Hebrew. The Greek and the Hebrew is not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Knowing the facts and the figures about the Bible isn't the Holy Spirit. That's why you can have a man like John the Baptist, who didn't go to the Bible schools of his days. Nobody gave him a place to preach, but he was a man of the Spirit, and he could hear from God, and he could minister under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." The second thing about the Spirit's ministration is that this ministration of the Holy Spirit quickens the Word of God. Quickens the Word of God. The Word of God is life. It has transformational power. It has authority. It has unction. It has anointing. The Word of God is like a hammer that can break to pieces every defiance to the will and the purpose and the plan and the program of God. The Word of God is like fire that can burn every chaff that shouldn't be in the life of the individual. The Word of God is like a two-edged sword, piercing through the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. The Word is the Holy Spirit that takes God's Word and quickens the Word of God. You see, we all have a Bible. Can you raise your Bible up? Let me see your Bible. Bible? We all have Bibles? God bless you. Every word you find in that Bible, you will most likely find in a dictionary. What makes the Bible different from a dictionary then? What makes the Bible different from a dictionary? Almost every word you find in your Bible, you find in a dictionary. What makes the Bible, isn't just what we're holding. It's the Spirit of God now quickening the Word, quickening what you're reading that brings life to the Word. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So it's the Holy Spirit that quickens the Word of God. That's why Christ said in John chapter 6, verse 63, He says, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life." Guess what? People get born again because of the quickening of God's Word in their heart. It's the Word of God that gets a person born again. It's the Word of God that brings a person to repentance. It's the Word of God that brings about a transformation of life. It's the Word of God that brings about a miraculous change. It's called the quickening word. They're not ordinary words. They're not words of Cicero or, you know, words of Plato or words of philosophy. No, it has quickening power. That's the reason why if we take the Word out of the church, if we emphasize on things outside the Word, it's like the body without the Spirit. It dies. Because it's God brooding upon the words of Christ that brings about the miracle that God wants to do amongst His people. In the book of John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63. Then we go to Hebrews. John 6, 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing." Then Christ says here, categorically, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life."
They are not ordinary words. They are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and life, and it has power to take a sinner and make him a saint. The words of Christ has the power to set people free from the captivity of sin and iniquity and unrighteousness, and they cannot live in the holiness of God. Thank God for one of the readings we had here today that speaks, that said about God does not require sacrifices, but obedience. But it's the word of God that quickens us to that obedience. It's the word of God that quickens us unto that holiness. So Christ was telling the people, look, the words I speak unto you are not just ordinary words. They're not just academic. They're not just, you know, theology. They're not just something that I'm reading out to you. It's more than that. The spirit, and there is life to the word of God. I remember the story of somebody who was, you know, a sinner, and he was just listening to the word of God. I think it was a message, a sermon, and there was nobody around him. There was no preacher around him. But that sermon had the spirit of God, spirit, life and spirit. The quickening power of God was upon that word. And according to the testimony, as he was listening to the word, it was as if there was a dagger that was hitting his heart. You know, there was something hitting him from within, and he broke down. And he got saved. Is that what the Spirit of God does to the Word of God? The same people that crucified Christ in Jerusalem just some few days ago heard Peter preach the same Word of God, and the Bible says that their hearts were pricked, and then 3,000 souls were saved. And if you read what Peter preached, there wasn't anything, you know, psychedelic in what he said. There wasn't anything so deep in what preacher preached. What made the words of Peter to be so convicting as to bring people to the Lord, people who had actually crucified Christ, is because the words he spoke had quickening power. And if there's one thing that the church has taken away, is that word that has quickening power, that people listen to, and they're quickened within their hearts, and it leaves them convicted. It leaves them with God's grace of a changed life. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, Hebrews 12, verse 4, Hebrews chapter 4, rather, verse 12, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick, that's it, quickening power, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So number one, is the Spirit of God that speaks to the church. Number two, the Spirit of God quickens the word that we hear. Before we go to number three, look at Acts chapter 6 verse 10. Acts of the Apostles chapter 6 and in verse 10. Let me read from verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They couldn't resist his words, because the words that Stephen spoke were quickened by the Holy Spirit. Number three, it's the Holy Spirit's ministration that brings about conversion. Can I speak my heart to you today? The reason why we don't have conversion, I mean conversion as defined by the Bible, is because the Holy Spirit has not been allowed to move. What do we call conversion today? The church at large, they call conversion, if you want Christ, say after me, accept Christ, raise up your hand, do
an altar call, amen, amen, you're saved. No. Because the Holy Spirit has not necessarily taken, you know, its place, has not actually performed what he ought to do in the life of that man or woman. Christ said, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Meaning that the Holy Spirit has a vital role to play in the conversion of man. And because the present day evangelist is so quick to get numbers, so quick to get decisions, he's so quick to get names on the paper, he wants to see that everybody responded, so they don't allow the Holy Spirit to do the conversion. Are we together, brethren? So the people go back home, and after one or two days, they don't really see any change. I can't really read the Bible. I can't really pray. I don't really love the Lord as I'm supposed to love the Lord. Why? The Holy Spirit has not been allowed to bring about the conversion. And those who will go through the pearly gates on the final day, every one of them are only the people that were converted by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says in the book of John, you know, as ministers, as pastors, there's a very great responsibility laid upon us. And I tell you why. This is how the present day church is. Somebody comes to church the first week, second week, and says, well, I like to keep on coming to this church. And after a while, becomes regular in the church. Then what do we do? Oh, brother, how are you, brother? We call him brother. We call him sister. He also understands the church language and begins to talk the church language. You know, God bless you. God bless you. And, you know, all those things that we normally say. But he hasn't been changed. He has not been converted. The Holy Spirit has not adopted this individual into the family of God. Somebody can be adopted into a physical church without being adopted into the family of God. And it's the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone that brings about that adoption, that conversion. So as ministers, as pastors, if we're not careful, before we know what is happening, okay, brother, you help us with the choir, help us, sister, with the children, and they're not saved. And it's the picture today of the church. That is the picture. So we now take ability, regularity, attendance, you know, and church language and church attitude, okay, he's saved, she's saved. And yet Christ said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Meaning that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone is one that has the prerogative to bring about conversion. In John chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Number four, it is the Spirit of God that changes the believer into the image of Christ. Church has not happened. If after I have left church, I am not a little bit more in the image of Christ. If after I've left a meeting, I've left a church, in fact, there's a craze now. It's a craze of this meeting, that workshop, this conference. The church is so busy. So busy. Inviting here, invitation there. There's something going on here, there. And yet, church has not really happened. Church is not church. If after Sunday service, I'm not more conformed into the image of Christ. If that hasn't happened, church didn't happen on that Sunday. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings about that change into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we need to define what kind of liberty. Are we talking about liberty and freedom to do what we want to do? No. Are we talking about liberty that we're no longer under the law, now we're under grace? No. And the Bible defines itself, defines what it means. In verse 18, we see, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." Everybody say, same image.
Same.
That's church. What a waste of time. If I spend 30 years as a pastor, 40 years as a pastor, if Christ tarries, maybe 50 years as a minister, and the people were coming to under my ministration, and they were not being changed more and more, you're not being conformed into the image of Christ, God will ask me, what were you doing for 50 years? God will say, what do you call what you are doing? Is that ministry? And the people were not being conformed more and more. What were you preaching? What were you emphasizing? When you had your conferences, what were you preaching your conferences? When you were having revival and awakening tour in the UK, God will be asking me, what was your emphasis? If with all those things you were doing, people, because of coming under that ministration, were not being pointed to being conformed more and more into the image of Christ, God will tell me it's a waste of time. There's liberty in the house of God for us to be changed into the glory and into the image of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Then that is ministry. Then that is church. Then there's a reward on the final day. But we all, and I love Paul, he says we, not just, it's not just something for the prophets or the apostles or the teachers or the pastors or full-time ministers. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. By the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is allowed to operate in the church of God. And as people come in and they're leaving the meeting, wow, a little bit more of the image of Christ. And then they go the following Sunday and they listen to the ministration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to his people and they're leaving that meeting and a little bit more into the glory, into the image of Christ. And then even the husband and the wife, they'll be testifying, my husband, my wife, there's something about you. What? You're different. Your image, I can see Christ, more of Christ in you. You know, sometimes when people are coming to church, they put on their best attire. I'm not talking about clothes. They went to church, okay, I'm going to put on humility. I'm going to church. You know, I'm going to put on meekness. And when they come to church, they're wearing the meekness and humility, but when they get home, they take it off. No, we're talking about being conformed. This is what the Holy Spirit does in his church. Number five, there's six of them. The Spirit of God, or the ministration of the Spirit, listen, brethren, gives us complete victory over the tyranny of sin and sin nature. I really don't understand. If there's one subject the church does not want to address, it's sin. They will address love, God's compassion, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. But when it comes to sin, they hush hush. Why? And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit came to do. Where the Holy Spirit is allowed to minister, and there's the liberty of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit that now gives his people victory and freedom over the tyranny of the sin nature and sin. And it's a message that is not popular, because Satan has taken the message of God and has distorted it. So the abnormal looks normal. And what is supposed to be normal in God's house looks abnormal. Romans chapter 8. I read from verse 9. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. I can preach 2 hours on these verses. And they are so very clear. So very clear about what the nature of the Spirit's ministration, the nature of the power of the Holy Spirit, the nature of what the Spirit of God does in the house of God, where the Spirit of God is allowed to move and where there's liberty in God's house. It says in verse 8, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That means this can only happen on the basis that you actually have the Spirit of God in you, that I have the Spirit of God in me. That's why it says, if so be. It says, if you have any issue with this, if you have any issue about this, then maybe the Spirit of God isn't in you. That's what the writer is saying here. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You keep on looking at you keep noticing Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What he's simply saying in verse 10, he said, by virtue of the presence of the power, of the authority, of the anointing, of the unction, of the Spirit of God in an individual, the Spirit of God will give that individual victory over the deeds of the flesh. And the people of God say, you're quiet on me today. And the people of God say, it's a very practical thing. Someone gets born again by the Spirit. That which is of flesh is flesh. We'll always do the flesh because was born of the flesh. You didn't determine your parents. I did not determine my parents. But my parents determined who I would be. Am I communicating? Likewise, your parents. It's what they did that brought about yourself and myself. Born of the flesh. We were formerly of the flesh. We had nothing to do with it. It's because we were born of the flesh. So also spirit. Being born of the Spirit has nothing to do with struggling and striving and trying to get into the Spirit. If we are born of the Spirit, it is the Spirit's responsibility to bring about what should be spiritual about us. Am I communicating, brethren? Good. So, it has nothing to do with, you know, I'm trying my best. I really want... No. That which is born of the flesh will remain flesh. We'll go to church, but we'll still be flesh. May be preaching as I'm preaching, but we'll be flesh. May understand John 3:16, but we'll be flesh. Because it's been born of flesh. That which is born of the Spirit will be spirit by virtue of being born of the Spirit. Are we together, brethren? This is important. So he now says here, it's very practical. He says, if the Spirit of God dwells in us, it's the Spirit of God in the believer that gives him that dynamic victory, that brings about the victory and subdues the power of the flesh. So it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the Spirit ministering in the believer. So he now says in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. The person beside you, don't miss verse 11. I didn't hear that. Don't miss verse 11. But if the spirit of him that rose Christ from the dead dwell in you, brethren, pause. The spirit that rose Christ from the dead must be a very powerful spirit. Christ died, and on the third day, he rose. And the Bible is saying that Christ rose by virtue of the ministration of the Spirit. That's the cornerstone of our faith, that Christ rose from the dead. And he rose by virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Scripture is telling me that same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, the same one, everybody say same. The same one is in the believer. The third person beside you, you don't know what you're carrying. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, that is in you, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What that verse is saying, because that same spirit is in the believer who has been converted by the spirit of God, that same spirit is the one who gives us victory over the tyranny and the dominion and the captivity of the flesh, of sin, of the world, and of sin nature. The gospel we hear outside is that sin nature, sin nature, sin nature. And let's go back to the Bible. I don't want head knowledge. I want the experience. Let's go back to the Bible. If all that Christ did is sin, fall, rise, fall, sin, under captivity, under the flesh, is that a victorious gospel? Is that all we preach? Is that all we have to give the world? No wonder the world is not coming. The world is saying, we are going through the same thing we're going through. We don't see any difference in your life. We don't see the power. We don't see the victory. So what's you're not going to add any value. Why should I come to your church? If the spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in the believer, it says that same spirit shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you see that it has nothing to do with you and I? It's about the spirit of God. That's why he now says in verse 12, therefore, brethren, by virtue of the spirit of God, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. That means that the spirit of God in the believer that rose Christ from the dead is not giving victory. I don't want, you know, how many of us want a victorious life? That's what God came to give us. That's what Christ died for. That's what the Spirit of God does. I tell people in the church, the gospel you listen to determines the life you live. If the gospel you listen to is corrupt, and if what they are saying is diluted, the life also is going to be the same. These are the words of Christ through Paul. He said here, because the spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in the believer, then the believer has victory over the flesh. Therefore, everybody say therefore. I pray that you get what I'm talking about today. Verse 12 says, therefore, because of verse 11. You get the point? Because of verse 11. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, that's him again, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. No wonder Satan will do everything to hinder the ministration of the Spirit. Because he knows the victory that the people of God will have when there's the ministration of the Spirit of God in the house of God. Number six, and the last one, is the Spirit of God that enables us to pray. When we're tired, we're weak, we think we can't pray. In Romans chapter 8, bless you, verse 26 and 27, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, when I see that phrase, groanings which cannot be uttered, I don't know whether I've shared this testimony. I speak too much, so I don't know whether I've told you before. Maybe, you know, but there's a time in my life I was going through a very, very serious need. I know the enemy was attacking. We didn't have children in time. And when my wife got pregnant, he said that he was going to make sure that she would not deliver. And it was the 7th or the 8th month. I was going for a prayer meeting. And I had a very heavy burden to pray. I can remember. Those prayers were like what we have in verse 26. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Not knowing that the enemy would attack that night. So after I had prayed, but it was such that I had to go to a different room because I knew if I should pray the way I wanted to pray, I would be disturbing other people. So I went, as the prayer meeting was going on, I went to another room to pray. My handkerchief was soaking wet. Back home, spoke to my wife, you know, things are okay. But the enemy struck that night. There was a lot of blood. So we had lost the children because they were twins. But I remember the previous evening, groanings that cannot be uttered, praying unto the Lord. You want to speak in your normal language, but you cannot speak. You know, you're so burdened. Have you prayed like that before? And you're just groaning, uttering, and you just know that it's the Holy Spirit that is taking over. And the Spirit that knows the mind of the Father knows what he was praying about. He knew that there would be an attack that night. Spirit of God does. Helps us to pray. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's him, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As I bring this to a close, the six things I've spoken about. Number one, where you have the ministration of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will be speaking to the church. He speaks to the church. There have been times when people will come for the ministration, and when they're going home, they would probably ask the person who invited them, "Did you tell the pastor about me? Did you tell the pastor?" You know? No, why? The Spirit of God. Number two is the Spirit of God that quickens the word. Spirit of God that converts. Number four is the Spirit of God that changes us into the image of Christ. Number five, he is the one that gives us complete victory over the power and the tyranny of the sin nature of the flesh. And number six, he is the one that enables us to pray. So as we bring this to a close, why don't we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit much more in the churches today? Very, very simple answer. In John chapter 14, verse 17. John 14, 17. These are the words of Christ. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. See, when the church goes the way of the world, then the Spirit of the Lord withdraws. The Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive. And if the church becomes worldly and becomes carnal, then the Spirit of the Lord withdraws. That's why Christ said, the Spirit of truth whom the world will receive. And where the church allows the Spirit of God to manifest, it means the church withdraws itself from the worldliness and from the carnality, and is allowing the Spirit of God to... The Spirit of God does not operate where there's carnality. The Spirit of the Lord does not operate where there's worldliness. He doesn't. We may have the motions of religion, but it's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of the world are diametrically opposed to one another. That's why Christ said, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Let's pray on James chapter 2, verse 26. The early part of that verse says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We know that the church is called the body of Christ. Where the body of Christ is, or is supposed to be, and there's no spirit of God, then it is dead. And what we want in our lives, in our churches, in our ministrations, is the fullness of the Spirit of God in operation, doing everything that God the Father wants the Spirit of God to accomplish in our lives. Let's rise to pray. Let's pray that the Spirit of the Lord will manifest and He'll be allowed to operate in our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need the ministration of the Holy Spirit. The ministration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not need anybody to aid Him. If we release ourselves, if we surrender ourselves, we take inventory, if we say, Lord God in heaven, I want the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that you have ordained Him to accomplish in my life, the Lord will do it. Let's call upon the Lord and pray and ask the Lord for the living Spirit of God, that the Spirit of the Lord will move amongst His people. The Spirit of God will move in our lives and in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the living God is the one that quickens the Word of God. The Spirit of the living God is the one that speaks directly to the church of God. He's the one that brings about conversion. As a church, we want souls to be saved. We want souls to come into the kingdom. There's nothing you and I preach that can do that. It's the prerogative of the Holy Spirit. It's within the remit of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that brings about conversion. That's why Christ said, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Let's pray that more and more we shall be transformed into the image of Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not just coming to the church and attendance. We're not just coming for, you know, religious meetings and gatherings. But we want want to be changed into the image of Christ. Then that is church. That's what church is all about. It's not the gathering. It's not just come. No, church is our lives being conformed, being transformed into the image of our Savior, into the image of Christ, aha, then that is church. And that can only be done by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that changes us. He's the one that conforms us. He's the one that brings us into the image of Christ. He's the one that enables us to have the image of Christ. He's the one that brings us into that glory. Let's pray that God would, He would visit us with the Spirit. He would visit us, and we will also allow His Spirit to rule and reign in our lives. Remember, it is the Spirit of God that brings about victory, victory over the body, over the flesh, over sin, over carnality, over worldliness. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He can give us that victory. Whatever's been holding us down, the sin nature, the victory. If the Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in us, that same Spirit shall quicken our mortal bodies. That's what the Bible says. And if we say, Lord God in heaven, I don't want to live a defeated life. I want to live in the glory and in the victory that has been given unto me through the Holy Spirit, then the Lord would do it. It's more than able. And it's the Spirit of God that enables us to pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you. Father, we bless and we magnify your name. Father, we need your Spirit. Father, we need your Holy Spirit. Father, put us aside and let your Spirit move amongst us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, our words will fall to the ground. Without the Holy Spirit, our evangelistic outreaches, mighty God, we will not achieve much. Without the Holy Spirit, Lord, we may get people into the building, but we will not necessarily get them into the kingdom. Father, Lord, it's the Holy Spirit that converts. He's the one that convicts. He's the one that transforms. He's the one that gives victory over the flesh, over sin, over the world, over carnality. He's the one mighty that gives us divine illumination. No wonder Christ said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Father, we are praying this day that your Holy Spirit will have His way in our midst. He will have His way in our lives. He will have His way, mighty God, in this church. He will have His way in the church of God at large. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we want the ministration of the Holy Spirit. We want the ministration of the Holy Spirit. We want Him to minister unto us, Heavenly Father. Lord, we are praying that this will be accomplished in the name of Jesus. Like it was in the day of the Acts of the Apostles. Lord, on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit began to move, and the people heard the word, and they were convicted and they repented, and there was change of life, mighty God. Your word is quick, your word is powerful, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word, mighty God, is life and spirit. Lord, we are praying that your word, my Father, my God, will be accomplished in our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, release your Spirit, I pray, in our midst. Where there has been defeat, your Spirit will give us victory. You will quicken our mortal bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, as many that might not yet be saved, Lord, I'm praying that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You will grant your people the experience, Lord, to be born of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as we read your word will have quickening power. Lord God in heaven, that will change and transform our lives into the image of Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we're tired and we're not able to pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray. He will make intercession on our behalf. He will take over our mortal bodies. He will pray through our vocal cords in the name of Jesus. He will pray the mind and the will of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray that continually we will begin to witness, Lord, the ministration of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in our midst, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. The Lord is saying that there's nothing much that you can do without Him. But we need to remember that this work is the work of God. And if it's the work of God, He is the one that has all the equipping and everything that is required for His work to prosper. That if we open the door for the Holy Spirit to minister the way He wants to minister, not the way that we might think, the way He wants to minister, this place will not contain the people that the Lord will bring into His kingdom. Father, we're just praying, give us the grace to yield. Give us the grace to surrender. Heavenly Father, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will do a defining work that you have ordained Him to do in our lives and in the church as a whole, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Father, we glorify your name. And the people of God say, Amen. God bless you.